Greetings, lovely listeners. You are listening to Saga, a podcast where a dude and a chick discuss art and animation.
And thank you for listening to Saga Podcast. This is your favorite animation podcast. And today we are going to be discussing Vampire Hunter D, Bloodlust. And today is a Devil's Advocate show, which means that Garrison and I each pick sides. And we discuss why we do or do not like a movie or show.
Spoiler alert. This audio may contain spoilers, so please proceed with caution or an open mind. I don't care.
Cool. Losers first. Go ahead.
Okay, so feel free to chime in anytime here. All right, but first, hold on. Let's refresh the listeners' memories or tell them if they've already seen it. You guys know this is a movie about what? Guess what? Vampire Hunters. Whoa. Holy crap. Inspirational. Ugh, eye roll. So bad. First off, this movie is too old, okay? And like looking at the characters, honestly, their eyelids.
2000 is too old?
Yeah. Get with it, man.
So you must be like ancient thing.
I am a young millennial, okay? I am in my ripe and prime. I think this is too old. It just looks like I need to blow the dust off of it. You know what I mean? like I need to pick it up and like blow all of the dust off, or like just wipe all the cobwebs off and stick it back into the shadows of the darkest part of my house, because it's that old.
Okay. And?
Okay, and it's so slow. Like, this movie is so slow. It's far too long. I think it's like an hour and... No, almost 2 hours. And I, like, had to speed it up 1.25 times because it was so slow. And then, you know, it got to the point where their voices were like, me, 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 me. So I had to slow it down. Just a little bit, though.
Okay, so I'm going to address a couple of those comments. So first, you mentioned that plots, like a vampire hunter, was like kind of stale. But this Blood Hunter D series was based on a series of books that came out in early to mid 80s, so you could say that it's actually one of the first stories that did that.
Okay, get your facts out of here. We don't need that.
And let's see, you said something else like you had to speed it up. Well, I think that its slow and contemplative pace accentuates the dreary nature of...
So you're telling me people want to be sad?
Well, yes, because it makes you feel for the characters.
I don't feel for any of those characters. They're vampires.
Well...
They suck blood.
But they don't always want to. That's sort of the moral of the story, right? Like, there are characters fighting, like Meyer and Dee, who are fighting their urges. Because they don't want to hurt people close to them.
Okay, what would you do if you were a vampire?
Well, you know, that's kind of hard because different vampire stories, like, have different kind of, like, characteristics. But if you're talking about, like, a vampire from this story, I would... It's hard to say.
Now, you would be all powerful and be like, haha, I'm gonna infect every person I know. That's what you would do, because that's what vampires do.
Okay, well, I would... Okay, so... I kind of feel like I there's not enough time in the day and stuff like that. Like, human life is short and there's a lot I want to do, so I would like learn and stuff and like kind of be an all-powerful god like 400 years into the future. So I guess that's what I would do, is rule over people.
And how do you do that? Like, you need to suck blood. Being a vampire is so easy. You just kill everybody.
Okay. Yeah, but the whole blood sucking thing, it doesn't seem like they have to suck blood, because D said that he's like never killed someone, like never had their blood. So unless he eats animals, it doesn't seem like they need to drink blood.
Then what's the point? Okay, anyway, moving on. So you mentioned something about different vampires, right?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So one of my critiques here is that they rely so, so, so heavily on the Christian folklore that is vampires. Like the zero cross, anti-Christian, Satanist vampire. And like, who started that? Who started that? Because vampires are go back thousands of years, the folklore does. It's not just a Christian thing. Y'all need to calm down with those crosses. I mean, that was a great effect, you guys. Animators, bravo. Bravo. But unnecessary. Extremely unnecessary.
Is that a problem with the movie? The movie, though? For like, just showing something that's existed for hundreds of years with the crosses and stuff?
Yes.
Okay. Your next point.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, hold on. Can we talk about the fact that these are space vampires?
Right. So, from what I've gathered, this is actually set like thousands of years into. That's why there are like cybernetic horses and the like high-tech guns and stuff. Hello?
I just, you know, the world never ceases to surprise me. How do they come up with this stuff?
Drugs.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's drugs, because there's no other way that could have ever, like, I feel like it was the animator of death metal met some guy in an alley and was like, hey man, like, I'm an animator and I drew death metal. What would you like to see in a movie? And then the guy was like, yeah, I want to see a vampire hunter in space. And then he was like, dude, hell yeah. And then he made it.
Sure. Let's go with that. So I'm guessing you don't like that. Well, come on, that's cool. Futuristic
vampires. It's just so much. Like, there is so many layers that it's too many. Too many layers. You put the icing on too thick, and now it's just more icing than it is cake, and that's not a good balance. You need balance in a cake.
Well, I guess that's what preferences are for, but also people like, speaking of your cake analogy, so most people like will eat just the icing, but who do you know will eat just the cake part? So really you're complimenting the movie, saying that it's
the icing. You know, I'm gonna take that as a touche, because I like icing. If I had a more icing cake, I would. Anyway, so moving on.
Oh, before you go to your next point, the person that directed this movie also directed Wicked City, which we talked about earlier this year.
Great film. Love that one. This one, don't like.
I still don't get it, but it's your wrong opinion, but you know, whatever.
Hey, so why didn't we start with the first movie?
Well, when I posted this, I didn't know that there was another movie. And also, I don't think we have to see the quote-unquote first one to watch this one, so.
Okay, well, I feel like we should have started with the first movie. Then I feel like maybe my unlikeness of this movie would be a little less, because my head is still spinning.
Your next point.
Yeah, okay, so the blonde chick, right? So she's got the coolest outfit of everybody. And she, like, looks futuristic, so I'm guessing she's also an alien, you know? And this is just what I surmise, because I didn't really watch the movie, you know, I just kind of skimmed it. And everyone else is kind of dressed like they're from the 16th century in, like, peasantry clothes. You'd think she would be like, here, I brought you some clothes to wear or some future device to help you survive in the new world.
Well, if this is, in fact, thousands of years into the future, okay, so if you look at now, right, we have people that dress in modern clothes. We have people that like dressing up as, like, hipster types that dress up in, like, clothes from the 50s. And people that wear Victorian era stuff. So
you're saying she's cosplaying? Ah, I get it now. That makes more sense.
It's just, you know, people have different styles and preferences towards their likes. She's not cosplaying because, you know, because she's a serious woman that's a bounty hunter. She's not
who's acting. Cosplaying as not a woman bounty hunter.
Look, come on. She's trying her best, okay?
Okay. so also hand face. Yeah, hand face. There was a hand face in this film. Moving on from that. I like the sand rays in this film. I would like to ride one. So because I'm never ever going to be able to ride one, I do not like this film.
Okay.
And so there's a giant eye building that stares at you and, like, laser beams. That was interesting. It looked like it was, like, made out of glass or some sort of shiny metallic thing, metal, reflective. It seemed to, like, just blend in so to the sky. And yeah, that's when I officially felt like I was on shrooms without having to have taken said shrooms.
Well, so that's a good thing, right? Like, you can have different mind states without actually taking the substance. So you're endorsing this film for people that want to stay sober but want to experience a mushroom-like high.
Touché, because it definitely made me feel like I was on mushroom, but drugs are bad, okay? I'm sorry. Just say no, kids. Just say no.
Next point.
So, the voiceovers for this film, there were many, okay? And some I feel I've heard before, but I did not even bother to look up who was in this film, you know, in the American dubbed version on YouTube. So, I cannot say who they are, but they are awful. All of them. And whoever has acted in this film needs to revoke their union card because this is just shameful. Shameful.
Okay, so I think there's at least one person that's in here that I think that, like, if I'm thinking of the same person. Yep.
John Travolta?
No, he was the voice of Bender from Futurama, done Jake the Dog, and done countless other voice roles. So he's good.
Mediocre.
No, he's good. He's really good. He's Bender.
I bet his IMDb is so short you can't even see it.
All right. Well, no, but next.
Okay, so I have a comment in here. It says, why animation so good, but story so bad? And it has, like, a million exclamation points and question marks after it, because that's just how I was feeling.
Well, the reason why...
Before you go on. The animation is... Mwah, is perfecto. Perfecto. Mwah. But the story... Where is it? There is, like, it, you know, my cake. It's the cake thing. We're going back to the cake. I'm sorry.
Well, the reason why you didn't like the story part as well as the animation was simply because you don't have the IQ to understand, to comprehend the deep themes that this movie was trying to convey.
Oh, I have not insulted you once. And now you pull out the IQ card. Listen, I know it's only like 87, okay? You don't need to brag about your 120 IQ. Calm down.
Well, that was actually just like a Rick and Morty reference to that famous comment that the person made. But but thank you for the compliment. Anyway.
Okay, last few comments, and then I will let you continue, Mr. High IQ. So I thought for sure that the vampire hunter was straight gonna murder that little girl at the end.
She's a woman, right? Not a girl.
No.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the little girl, the little, like, oh god, her voice was so bad. And I was like, well, if not, then I will, because her so gross. Her voiceover was just so cringy. And then I was like, yeah, do not glue horns on to a horse, sir. That is animal cruelty.
Right, but I guess it, since they're like not real horses, it's okay.
So that concludes my thoughts on this horrendous film. I could have voiced that better.
Voiced which? What better?
And all of it. I could have voiced all of it.
Well, you still have time. After I state mine, and you can come back with your comments. All right, so this is a phenomenal movie that is underrated and more people should definitely see. First of all, going off of what Sarah was talking about, my first point, the animation is beautiful and it has this silent, melancholic atmosphere, which kind of leads back to like one of your first comments about it being slow paced, right? And I think that that's one of the film's strengths, but I also don't think that it's as slow as you think it is. Like, there's plenty of action beats, the constant like scene changes, interesting character interaction, and another point on the animation side, the characters' facial expressions, they tell stories. They tell stories about their troubled pasts, and they just like look worn down, you know.
Oh yeah. What? Okay. Hold on. Going back to that comment. And something I missed on mine. Yeah. Why are their eyes so squinty? Like, they look like they're constantly looking off into the horizon.
Well, that's racist. They're Asian, clearly.
What? What? I did not say that they were racist, or
but you're calling them
squinty eyes. I did not say their race. I said that their eyes were squinty.
But you're calling them squinty eyes.
I'm telling them to open their eyes. Open your eyes. See with your eyes.
That's just rude. But you're better than
nah.
Anyway. Right, so the characters, the action sequences are intense, and you know, characters can get like snuffed out instantly, right? And usually in movies, characters will have like final words and they pretty much die on their own terms, but in this film they don't have that luxury. They can just die and not have closure, you know. That's pretty neat. It's very different. No comment on that.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, I see.
I'm sorry. What? I wasn't listening. What?
Never mind. Anyway, so my next point after animation is the mystery that this film has. So this film, which leads into my point of world building, is that there's like a feel to it in the way that information is told, and you can feel, you know that something cool is coming, right? So there's lots of small things like that mirror building that you're talking about. Hold on.
Didn't you say like in a couple episodes back that you hated world building?
No. Why?
I swear would I you that? Did. Something about that. Something about. Hold on. I gotta think about this. Something about that. You said something about world building, like a couple episodes ago, about how like something. Okay, hold on. Continue with what you were doing.
Well, maybe how it's done. Sure. Like how it, maybe I said that, but like how it's done are the key words. Like I like how world building is done, right? So, right. So like the mirror building, that like had the eyes and stuff, and then how there's like magic involved. There are like werewolves and shapeshifters, and there's like spirit vampires and like people that can like shoot their souls out. And like,
right, well, okay. So where does it end?
Where does what end?
Where does the world building end? That, you know, right, like that, especially in this film, it's like it's endless. It's endless. You might as well be in the land of ooh, you know.
And that's why it's world building, right? It's a world where all of the questions don't need to be answered, because if they were, then that would make the world feel small and thus like not a complete world, just enough information to convey a story. But since this is in fact based on a book series of like 20 plus books, it makes sense that there are open ends. And maybe you could think of this movie as an advertisement for the book series, so you can get into those and things like that. So yeah, world building, and this is pretty cool, intriguing. This movie has humor in it. There are characters that make funnies, and so that makes the world feel more real. Because like sometimes these sort of horror stories can kind of have melodrama in it, where it like takes itself too seriously, but there are brief moments of levity that really do a lot for the story. The hand that you thought was so nasty, so gross, is actually a metaphor for masturbation.
Oh, they're so dirty. Y'all are dirty.
It's true. Because if you think about it, the hand was like he was sort of the thoughts, the dark thoughts of D, right? Like he wanted to like drink blood. Like he wanted to succumb to his urges, right? And he is a hand, right? So, you know, his hand was telling him to indulge, to pleasure himself, right?
See, this is another Christian insert here. You know, Christians, get out of my animation. Separate church and animation.
Why? Why do that?
Because a weird symbolism like that, that's why.
Well, it's not weird. You know, animals do it. So it's like, you know, form. It's just nature, right?
No, that's what I'm saying. Masturbation is fine. No, that's fine. Go ahead. Dangle your wangle. Whatever. You know? But I'm talking about the symbolism for masturbation. Like, are they saying it's bad because he's like the raunchiest side of him? I don't know. That seems like a Christian antidote to me, to be like, yeah, put all of your sins somewhere else. You don't think about it.
Well, I don't completely understand what you're talking about, but I'll just smile and nod. But you can't see me, but know that I'm smiling and nodding.
Okay.
Anyway, so this story is Romeo and Juliet. Meyer and Charlotte are Romeo and Juliet. And so they are the star-crossed lovers. They are the Edward and Bella of the story. You know, the bland girl with the super cool, charismatic Edward vampire guy. Only it's better than Twilight, because there's actually like layers to their characters, right? So Meyer, okay, so when the movie starts, Dee is sent on this mission to rescue this man's daughter named Charlotte from the vampire Meyer, who they think, you know, kidnapped her, but in actuality, she went of her own free will because she loved him. But people, the people that are in this story, you know, both the humans and the vampires, like, both sides think that humans and people, like, shouldn't mix because no good can come of it. But they loved each other, so they made it happen. And it's irrational, their love, because it was like a self-sabotaging kind of love, where if you think about it, there's really like no happy ending for them, because either Charlotte would be killed by Meyer, or they would both be killed by humans, or vampires, I guess. And since Meyer didn't want Charlotte to become a vampire, Charlotte would just eventually grow old and die. So that would pretty much just leave Meyer by himself again. So there's like a there's a tragedy in this story, which is kind of cool too. Any comments so far?
Other than tragedies suck, no.
No. Yeah, a lot of what's his name?
Shakespeare.
He wrote a lot of tragedies, right? And like those have been like remade and like updated, like The Lion King stories like that. But yeah, so like these are like timeless tales. They never get old. So there is another point that I have. There's a moral to this story. So I mentioned that like love, you know, sometimes doesn't make sense, and sometimes people do things that aren't in their best interests. And the other moral to the story is that racism is also not rational, and really this is also kind of like a story of racism in that on one side the humans feared the vampires for good reason, you know, they have been killed by them, but there's also the vampire side in which they are slaves to their instincts, kind of like the story of the scorpion and the frog, right? Like they don't always want to, they're not doing it because of out of malice, they're just doing it. And so that's an interesting side of the story, because
hold on, can you tell what the story of the frog and the frog is for listeners so they understand?
The story of the scorpion and the frog is the little fable of a frog that's about to cross the lake, but there's a scorpion that's like by the beach, right? And the scorpion asks, "Can I ride on your back so I can cross the lake?" Right? But the frog is a bit apprehensive because it's a scorpion. But the scorpion reassures him, telling him that, you know, why would I sting you? Because, you know, I'll drown too, right? And the frog think that's okay, so that makes sense. So they both, swim across. But halfway through, the scorpion stings him, and then they're like both drowning, and then scorpion's like, well, you know, it's like, it's just my nature, and they both kind of drown and die.
Right.
Yeah, so the vampires are the scorpions, and frogs are the humans, but at the same time, you know, people have their instincts, right? You know, we do things that rationally don't make sense, but we do them. Same for the vampires. But as I was saying, the people that have actually met the vampires have different opinions on them. Same with the character Layla, the blonde-haired girl futuristic outfit that you were talking about, which leads to my next point, a poetic and sweet So halfway through the film, D makes a promise to Layla that he would visit her funeral if she died first. And so he does that. So this movie ends a few decades in the future, which also leads back to my point of world building and how tale of Blood Hunter D could technically span centuries, which is kind of a cool concept. But so D visits Layla's funeral, and this is where he stands at a distance. And Layla's story was about she was a vampire hunter who had a rough life. Her mother was killed right in front of her after turning into a vampire. And so Layla does some stuff like she goes vampire hunting for most of her life after that. But after meeting D, because he saved her, she slowly warms to him and slowly understands that, you know, all vampires aren't the same, right? So throughout the film, she like learns and thinks and makes life for herself after all of her comrades die. She comes to understand that, you know, if she's in this line of work for too long, she will eventually die. So she wants to be she makes life for herself. She starts a family and people are there at her funeral, which she never thought would happen. So I think that's like a cute little ending to that. To an otherwise really like somber, sad film.
So what would you rate this film on a scale of 1 to 10?
What would I rate this? Well, we're not really talking about ratings though. So this is just like whether you know you hated it, I liked it. So there's no need for numbers.
Okay.
You?
No, I'm suspicious. No, I'm not going to do it.
You're suspicious?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because now I don't want to. I don't want to be the odd one out.
Okay, alright. Honestly, with like no like hyping it up and stuff like that, it's like a 7.5, like a safe 7.5, maybe a little bit higher.
I'm gonna give it a 2 to spite. But in reality it was pretty good. I actually watched it twice.
Okay. I think that was our thoughts kind of on Vampire Hunter D: Bloodlust. Thank you for listening and come back next time as we talk about Over the Garden Wall.
Yay. Also, this is a character I play, so don't take anything that I said seriously. Everything I said before now is invalid.
So you're like method. Like you're, we haven't even started recording yet and you were doing the character.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a talent.
Hmm.
Okay. All right, goodbye. Thank you for listening to Saga Podcast, where we talk about animation and animation things. This is your favorite co-host, Sarah, and I would like to remind you before you head off that we do have a Twitter, a Facebook, an Instagram, a website, and soon to be a Patreon. So if you could reach out to us, leave us a comment, a review, anything that you like, and we will appreciate all of it. Otherwise, have a wonderful week, and we will see you next time.
Bye. See you next time. Hope you liked it. Come again.